John Batchelor, David Livingston. This is Hotel Mars, episode N. We are enthusiastic to speak of endlessly Falcon Heavy. The launch in these last 24 hours has changed the direction of our expectation for colonies, for launch to adventures such as the asteroid belt. All of that is ahead of us because one more time, again, the United States has a booster that is capable of putting, for example, 2 to 4 tons, we're told, on the surface of Mars. That's everything for manned exploration and for heavyweight robot exploration. We welcome Jeff Faust, who is a senior staff writer at Space News, attending the Falcon Heavy launch and the remarks afterwards about what is next. Dr. Space, David Livingston, a very good evening to you. David, I witnessed it online. You watched it online. I first want to make sure, did it meet your expectations, David? Good evening to you.
Yes, it did, because it lifted off. When I saw it actually lift off and get off the ground and off the pad, that was really thrilling. That was the big moment for me.
Mr. Faust, a very good evening to you. You attended, and what I could hear in the background was all the cheering. I'm presuming that you were a sober-faced reporter taking notes the whole time and not cheering. But what was the atmosphere prior to the launch and when it went off, when we saw all the engines firing? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Yeah, good evening. There was a lot of anticipation, obviously. This was the first launch of this rocket, and there was a lot of questions about how successful the launch would be, how far off the pad it would go. Elon Musk had made a hedged his bets quite a bit about just how successful it might be. And there was a long waiting game because there was a 2.5-hour launch window, and they had to wait until upper-level wind subsided enough for them to proceed with the launch. So it wasn't until nearly 4 o'clock near the end of that 2.5-hour window before it actually launched. And so there's a lot of nervousness about whether there might be a last-second glitch that would scrub the launch and make us come back the next day. But then it actually lifted off, and it was quite the spectacle, not just to see, but to hear and feel as that thrust of those 27 first-stage engines reverberated across the Space Coast.
David?
Jeff, can you compare and contrast the sound, the vibration, and the flames to a shuttle launch?
They were fairly similar. I would say maybe a shuttle launch might be a little bit louder, stronger sensation, but it was definitely something that you both saw and heard as well as felt. And also you had the effect of the booster landings back at the Cape, which created the sonic booms that you heard a few moments after the landing that sort of punctuated the whole experience.
Yes, I want to emphasize that the two boosters, the side boosters, came back and landed on Earth in Cape Canaveral almost simultaneously. It was spectacular to witness, and that was something NASA never tried, to my memory, in all the decades that it was triumphant. The main engine, the main booster, did not land correctly. Is that right, Jeff? It was lost at sea.
That's right. They attempted to land the center of the three first stages on a ship at sea, but they had a problem with relighting two of the three engines they needed for that final landing burn. So it ended up crashing into the ocean and apparently caused a little bit of damage to the drone ship it was trying to land on, although it doesn't sound particularly serious. That was sort of the one thing that didn't go according to plan. Everything else went pretty much as expected.
David?
Jeff, what could you see? Just everything was closed off in the fairing, or could you see anything before? Like, did they give you any tours of what was inside the fairing? Did you get any real glimpses of that?
No, we didn't get a chance to see what was inside the payload fairing. SpaceX, of course, had released photos weeks earlier of the Tesla Roadster mounted on that payload fairing, and then later showing that mannequin in the spacesuit, the so-called Starman, sitting in the driver's seat. But we didn't get to see any of that. We saw, like everyone else on the internet, saw the live images being transmitted from space after it reached orbit of the car circling the Earth for several hours before that upper stage performed its final burn to send it off towards Mars and the asteroid belt.
Right. When the pyramids are dust, that Tesla will be circling the sun. What is next, Mr. Faust? Did SpaceX give any hints about the next launches? And there's this other idea that maybe they're not going to put the Falcon Heavy into production because they've got the BFR awaiting in the wings.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to do Falcon Heavy launches because the BFR, or which is formerly known as the Big Falcon Rocket, is their next generation, very large reusable launch vehicle, still several years down the road. Falcon Heavy can serve some of the largest payloads that can't launch on the Falcon 9. That includes some very large commercial satellites and also some national security payloads that tend to be classified in nature. So they can launch those on Falcon Heavy rather than Falcon 9. So they can still do a few Falcon Heavy launches a year. But really, this is sort of an intermediate step until that next generation BFR vehicle becomes ready sometime in the first part of the 2020s.
David?
Is Falcon Heavy only to be launched from the Cape, or eventually will Texas be able to launch the Falcon Heavy?
It could potentially launch from Texas. It probably more likely would launch from Vandenberg in California, so it can launch into those polar orbits that are particularly desired by some national security satellites.
The concern I have right now about Falcon Heavy and where we're going next is the pricing. What I've read in Science or Nature, one of them, Jeff, is that SpaceX is talking about $90 million per launch versus, say, $1 billion for SLS and much more for ULA. That suggests that Falcon Heavy is going to steal all the market without any competition. Is that accurate?
Well, it has certainly the potential to take some of the launches that would go on the Delta IV Heavy from United Launch Alliance, which cost several hundred million dollars a launch. The SLS is going to be more powerful than the Falcon Heavy, even in its original configuration, and there are plans to scale up the SLS for even larger payloads down the road. And also, SLS has a lot of political support that would make it hard to cancel it just because of the existence of the Falcon Heavy. So I don't see Falcon Heavy getting rid of SLS anytime soon. But if successful, could at least provide some competition and perhaps in the long term spell the end of the Delta IV Heavy.
David?
What effect do you think Falcon Heavy will have on Falcon 9, or will there be no effect on that?
Most of the payloads that are out there can launch in the Falcon 9, and the Falcon 9 is still going to be less expensive than the Falcon Heavy. And Falcon 9 is also going to be devoted for doing crewed missions, sending astronauts to and from the International Space Station, which they don't need the Falcon Heavy for. So there's going to be still a lot of demand for the Falcon 9. Fortunately, there's a lot of commonality between the Falcon 9 and the Falcon Heavy. They both use the same upper stage, the same payload fairing. The boosters, other than the core booster, which requires some modifications, is similar to the single core in the Falcon 9. So they can continue manufacturing a lot of Falcon 9s and then take some handful of them, some subset of them, and use them for Falcon Heavy missions.
30 seconds, Jeff. The Falcon Heavy, is that ready to put Dragon on the surface of Mars?
Right now, there are no plans to launch Dragon spacecraft with or without people on board on the Falcon Heavy. There were some discussions about putting astronauts on a Crew Dragon on a Falcon Heavy and sending them around the moon, but Elon Musk says there are no plans for now to do that because they want to focus their attention on that next generation BFR rocket. So Falcon Heavy is going to be launching satellites, very heavy satellites, maybe supporting some science missions down the road, but the future for SpaceX is really going to be that BFR rocket sometime in the 2020s.
Jeff Faust, a senior staff writer at Space News. David Livingston of the Space Show, Dr. Space himself. I'm John Batchelor. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N.